We bring on the Dynamo color analyst, also former Houston Dynamo defender and all-star Eddie Robinson. Eddie, would you prefer I call you the match analysis guy, or is color analyst okay?
You can call me whatever you want. Even some choice words. I don't care. Glenn, you're talking to answer.
Yeah. Match analysis, Mr. Eddie Robinson. And, you know, it's I was laughing the other day because I saw somebody put a picture up of a Halloween-inspired jersey of an Italian Serie A team. And it was, you know, they used the word kit, which we Americans have adopted as well, kit. I called it a uni, but it's a kit, I guess.
I call it uniform, just what it was when I was growing up, what it was when I was playing. Sometimes I feel like there are certain words that are used in European circles or South American circles or Central American circles that when you have an American accent, it just doesn't sound right.
It's true. That's a good
thing. Pitch.
That's a good point. All right. So we got Austin FC Dynamo. Let me just start with some initial impressions that you have had since you've watched Austin FC this year.
Well, the first one that really sticks out to me is DJ, number 99, the big center forward. That guy is big, and he is strong, and he is immovable, and he is fast, and he is a huge, huge get for Austin FC, and he just keeps getting better every time he plays. And anytime the Dynamo decide to go with a 3-5-2, he's going to cause some real trouble for that front three, maybe dragging them out, maybe holding the ball up, allowing late runs to come forward with Fagundes, Truisi, Cecilio Dominguez, even Ring coming out a little bit deeper. He is a big, big piece of that offense for Austin FC.
Yeah, no question. So, as you know, I have that show on the Horn, and I watch all the Austin FC games. We've interviewed a lot of the players, the coaches, Josh Wolf. So when he got into the team, what I noticed for me was it really in some ways helped to identify and kind of get people back in their correct positions, like Cecilio Dominguez, like Pochettino, like Driussi. And I just thought, like, here's this one player that you put into a team. He's a natural center forward, and the other pieces now all of a sudden look a little bit better.
Well, it just lets everybody be a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more confident. I can go back and we can look at the early Dynamo teams, neither even late in San Jose. What would we be without Brian Ching? A very similar, very strong, very solid number nine that either relieves pressure, that holds up and combines with midfielders like Dwayne Di Rosario, Brad Davis pitching inside, Brian Mullen pinching inside, all of these things that Brian Ching brought to the table, that DJ brings to the table, that they just don't have. These guys aren't very common in Major League Soccer right now. There's a few of them, but there's not a lot. And when you can get one, then you can really start to define the roles underneath these guys, because these center forwards are so dependable in what they do.
Dynamo analyst Eddie Robinson joining me. All right, so let's take that and put it into the Dynamo, where we essentially play with a false nine with Maxi Arruda. And of course, we're talking about this prior to the LA Galaxy game, but after the Seattle game where we saw him score that spectacular goal. But he isn't a traditional center forward. He doesn't necessarily occupy defenders with depth. Is that something that you think, if the Dynamo got a traditional center forward like that, do you think that would improve things?
You know, I don't know. I think if the Dynamo, for me, really actually got a traditional number 10 that could play in there and switch roles with Maxi Arruda. I mean, it's supposed to be Coco Carrasquilla, but he's been injured. He's only played seven games this year for the Dynamo. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But look at Manchester City today. They played with Phil Foden up front and at center forward. He was a false number nine, but he would drop in. He would create havoc. There would be a lot of movement. So the defenders have to have a lot of communication. So it's just as dangerous, but in a different way. Instead of basically neutralizing a center back with a big number nine who can hold it off, you're confusing them. You're having them chase in the midfield and open up gaps for runs in behind the defense. So they're both equally effective, but in their own ways.
All right, so you talked about Phil Foden. That was a good one because I think that ended 5-1 over Bruges for Manchester City. So the Bruges party for the moment took a big hit to the tune of 5 goals. We're talking to Eddie Robinson, Dynamo Color Analyst. We're both excited because we're gonna be up at Q2 Stadium. I've been there once. I don't know if you have, Eddie, but the environment I saw that night there, it made me feel like I was in Europe, frankly.
Well, I've only seen it on television, but – you know, the good thing is with the technology we have nowadays, you get all the natural sound and you can hear it. And I'm really excited to get up there. And even though they haven't done the best this year and they're down with the Dynamo at the bottom of the Western Conference, their fans have still been really supportive. And that's something that these players can feed off of. So going into the end of the season, they're just like the Houston Dynamo. They're playing for pride. If they can ruin somebody's night, ruin somebody's weekend, ruin somebody's playoff chances, they're going to go for it. And this is an in-state rivalry that I think is very quickly starting to pick up because the proximity is so much closer than Dallas to Houston.
Last game, they started with Brad Stuver in goal. He's had a good year. He's another one of these stories that, you know, has been a backup his whole career. Kolmanic, Cascante, Romagna, Jimenez, the back four, Ring and Pochettino in front of them. Cecilio Dominguez back out wide where, frankly, I think he belongs because he was playing as a center forward before Gite arrived. Sebastian Driussi is their big signing from Zenit St. Petersburg, another Argentine. And then Diego Fagundes, who is, you know, just had a rebirth, I think, in Austin. Now, I've watched all their games this year. Some of their approach play and their buildup and the way they transition from their defensive third of the field all the way up front has been absolutely gorgeous.
It's funny because when you look at this team on paper, you're thinking to yourself, how are they so far down the Western Conference, especially with that front four? And you add Pochettino, it gets a little bit higher at times. If he doesn't go and Ring goes, Pochettino will stay. So those two guys, Pochettino and Ring, have been really important. Similar to the Dynamo with Vera and Sorin, how one of them's got to be disciplined to protect that back four. And when they are, and that front five have the freedom that Josh Wolf has given them to get forward, be creative, interchange, DJ staying through the middle, obviously, but those guys are all over the place. And it's one, and it's two touch, and it's combination play. It's good crosses. It's runs into the box. They're so, so dangerous. And with the lack of communication that sometimes gets the best of the Dynamo, it could be a long evening. So they've got to communicate. They've got to keep an eye on runs. But more importantly, just keep the ball in front of you if you're the Dynamo defense, because they love to play a little bit of ticky-tacky, if you will. I don't really necessarily like that. That phrase, but it's what they do and it's what they're capable of. So when they've got that crowd behind them and they're feeling confident and they're feeling good and they're getting the lion's share of possession, you better look out.
Eddie Robinson joining us here tonight. We're previewing the Houston Dynamo, Austin FC, and back to Sebastian Driussi, Fagundes, Cecilio, who you've talked about. Pochettino joins in. You mentioned that. So does Ring at times, but you know, we're talking about a lot of guys that can create chances for themselves, right? You know, we were reveling about the goal that Darwin Quintero scored against Seattle, right? And I remember the last couple of years, you and me have repeatedly said this organically, inorganically on broadcast. Boy, it would be just good if somebody picked up a ball and run through a few people and scored a goal, you know, without talking about buildup and all this other stuff down to the individual players. So they do have individuals that can create their own chances.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, with Driussi, he's similar to Darwin Quintero, not quite as, I don't think quite as crafty, but he's much more able to bring his teammates into it. Where Darwin Quintero just seems to be getting better and better with each game when he's got the ball at his feet, just dribbling defenders. But the one thing that I'm looking forward to seeing if Tab Ramos, what he does against LA, and then if he sticks again, if he goes with a 3-5-2 against Austin, because if that's the case, Jimenez and Kolmanic on the outside, they're going to have to worry about Griffin Dorsey and Sam Junka. If that doesn't happen, then Pochettino or Ring are going to have to come out of the middle when those guys get forward, which is going to leave a nice little space between that midfield three of Fagundes, Driussi, and Dominguez, and that back four for Darwin Quintero to operate. So the Dynamo are going to have to stay compact because Driussi, he's very clever in his movement as well. He can find those gaps, get the ball into his feet, and turn and run at the defense. When he gets running at the defense, who's going to step to the ball? What problems is that going to create for the back three? Are there going to be gaps for late runs coming out of midfield, coming from outside to in? I think it's going to be an interesting chess match. See how the first 15 minutes go, and if Todd Ramos or Josh Wolf make any adjustments.
And the other beautiful thing is you're going to have the element of a crowd urging on the home team. So it's going to make this game just grow about a half a dozen inches simply because of the environment that we're going to be watching this in. Sebastian Driussi, to me, Eddie, is just there's just an experience in him. There's this understanding of the game that I think you really see and respect in this guy because of where he's been. And he's still only, I think, 25 years of age. He's a good pickup. I think guys like him, Cecilio, Gite is growing, getting fitter, understanding the league more, Romagna the same way. I think they have a lot of guys that are primed that after a season of MLS or a good dose of it are going to come into next year in a better place.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Diego Fagundes, he's been in the league for 10 years, but I believe he's only, 26? that's incredible. He's a veteran at 26 years old. But I agree with you. This was a growing season, this first season for Austin. It was a learning season. Once they get, you know, who knows what Josh Wolf's looking to do in the offseason. But if he's able to improve this attack any more than he already has done, this is going to be a really dangerous team moving forward. And the reason I think most people haven't heard as much about Driussi is because they're so far down in the Western Conference standings. Not a lot of people are paying attention to him. But if they get off to a good start next season, I guarantee you he's going to become a household name.
That's a really good point because, you know, that Seattle win was really the first time this year that the Houston Dynamo grabbed some national attention because of Quintero's goals and the quality of the goal Rudy scored. Quintero makes a team of the week. All these things, but it leads to an inevitable question of, you know, that the fans, I'm not sure, you know, I think it's very simple to the fans. They see him do that and they go, well, why wasn't he starting from the beginning? But there's other factors that were involved there.
Well, and I said it on the broadcast the other night against Seattle. It just seems like he's finally having fun again. And that's such a big part of it. And when I said a few minutes ago, he seems to get better with every game. That's just his fitness. He's knocking the rust off because he didn't play a full 90 minutes. He didn't play many minutes in the early part of the season. And it takes time to get back to 90 minutes match fit. It's one thing to do it in training, but it's an entirely different monster to do it on Saturdays and Wednesdays and Sundays when you're playing against the best 11 of another team. And I expect that each game that we see Darwin Quintero play for the rest of the season, he's going to continue to get a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better and give the Dynamo front office something to think about going into the offseason.
Well, and here's the problem with this. It all comes after the fact, right? You're out of the playoffs. We have to factor in a couple of other things. And I've said this repeatedly. I watched him in preseason, and with all due respect to him, who is an amazing player, I watched him at Santos. Anytime he's on the field, it's better for commentators, fans. It's exciting. But he was not fit in preseason. He did not look like he was putting the preseason effort in that he needed. Now, let's also remember, he was a complete starter the year before. You won 5 games. He had a free roll to do anything he wanted, and you won 5 games. So, you know, it's not always about a singular player. It's about the future. And you can even take it farther back and say, at the time Matt Jordan signed him, was this the right signing for a team that's in transition? An older, very extremely talented player. But, you know, Tab Ramos, I think, is trying to complete a complete overhaul here. So I think there's other things we have to factor in. For the moment, the night we saw him against Seattle, spectacular.
Yeah. And to be honest, to be fair, we're going into a World Cup year. And the one reason that Darwin Quintero has been able to have that freedom is because he's had Matheus Vieira and Darwin Serén and Derek Jones, really good defensive midfielders behind them to pick up the defensive slack. You know Vera is going to go to the World Cup. Well, maybe Serén if they qualify. So you've got to plan for that. What happens? Maybe they don't qualify. Maybe they don't go anywhere. But you've got to think ahead. And so maybe some of this, maybe it will be out of his control. Who knows? Maybe Coco Carrasquilla picks it up these last few games and starts to look a little bit like a younger Darwin Quintero. and do the Dynamo decide, you know what, Darwin, we're going to let you move on. We've got Coco coming through. I don't know if it's really just going to fall on him. There's so many pieces to this Dynamo team that need to be looked at in the offseason. It's going to be interesting conversations.
Yeah, well, we'll get you back on the show. We're going to do a deep dive on the roster once the season's over and kind of make our picks, who should return, who shouldn't, what are the best bargains, what are the best values, who's been overpaid this year, who's earned their money, who hasn't. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we have to begin to talk about when it comes to the Houston Dynamo in the city. Nobody talks about this stuff. You have to. This is what fans like. And anyway, Eddie, we will have fun Sunday in Austin. Thank you so much, as always, for coming on. And we'll make the run up to Austin, Texas, and we will do our best to represent the Dynamo fans with the best call we can possibly provide.
Sounds good, Glenn.